the Top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Now home of the Edge Kitchen and Bath Showroom.
It's the Top 5 on the Rokan Show. Let's go!
All right, checking. Wait, hold on. Before we do that, why don't I give it away? Yes, if you're waiting.
Right now.
Extra large premium chef's cutting board made of the finest American maple wood and crafted USA. Exclusively for the Edge Kitchen and Bath Showroom, valued at $100. Experience the Edge Builder Supply Outlet, 5 miles east of Oak Brook Shopping Mall on Cermak Road, 25th Avenue in Broadview. And also now open in Orland Park.
How about that?
That's
good luck.
19th caller, 312-981-7200. 19th caller, 312-981-7200. Now checking in at
number 5.
Oh, boy. This is quite a moment.
Today were pretty entertaining.
Yes. This is Al Franken, Senator Al Franken. That's something I didn't think I was going to see either.
No. Right. He was an SNL writer. And he wrote all those satire books that were great, actually.
Mm-hmm. He was Jack Handy. He wrote all those.
The Jack Handy part of SNL,
right? Like the he was Stuart Smalley, of course, but he also wrote the inspirational thoughts with Jack Handy, which were always very, very odd. But anyway, so Al Franken, and now a U.S. senator, has been for a number of years. He was in the confirmation hearing of Rick Perry for Department of Energy. You might recall that Rick Perry was the guy that wanted to get rid of the Department of Energy, but couldn't remember that that was the department he wanted to get rid of.
But he doesn't want to get rid of it now. He made that clear, now that he's going to be appointed to be the head of it.
And then there was this awkward moment.
Thank you so much for coming into my office. Did you enjoy meeting me?
I hope you were as much fun on that dais as you were on your couch.
Well...
Awkward.
May I rephrase that, sir?
Please. 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 Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord.
Well, I think we found our Saturday Night Live soundbite.
It was such a weird moment.
It was. It's an awkward moment. Yeah. Isn't it funny? Isn't it interesting? Isn't it something?
Well. Yeah, what a turn of
events.
Isn't
it rich that you've got the guy that... And again, I do... It's one of the lines from Saturday Night Live I think is kind of true, in spirit at least, that sometimes I think Donald Trump has thought, when he's thinking about cabinet appointments and other things, the sentence always starts with, wouldn't it be funny if... Because this is... It is true. The guy he's asking to be the... Secretary of Education is the guy who wanted to get rid of energy. Wanted to get rid of the Department of Education too,
right.
But wanted to get rid of the Department of Energy.
Right, and the labor appointee does not like labor unions. He doesn't like them.
Well, he likes labor.
Well, but I guess as long as you're not a union labor,
right?
So it's a little irony there.
Well, I think you're going to get that with
Betsy
the Republicans.
Betsy DeVos is not a huge for education. She doesn't really like public education as much as she seems to like private education.
Right. So,
but some irony there.
I think you're going to get that. I think that's what Republicans have, especially the philosophical Republicans and the chattering class of Republicans on talk shows and cable news and everything. They've been talking about this forever, and now they're getting exactly what they wanted in Donald Trump's choices. So we'll see how that works. You know, it's one thing to be campaigning. It's one thing to say stuff that, you know, in order to gain an audience. It's a whole other thing to say stuff or to do things to govern. So it'll be interesting to see how they, and I think all of these are going to sail through. Now, Rick Perry, on the other hand, I mean, he's a bit of a populist governor of Texas, but he was also an executive. I think he gets what it has to be. Although, you know, the energy department, I'll tell you, those energy companies in Texas have been trying to get rid of the energy department for a long time. Get them to stop. What is it with all of that? All this paperwork we had to sign on our oil rigs. Why we got to do all that signing the paperwork?
That's why they have their EPA pick. Who's going to help with that? Get rid of some of that paperwork.
We don't need no. What? Who cares what's going to happen to that valve over there? Oops.
I saw that movie.
Yeah. So, man. All right.
So I'm going to be fine.
Checking in. This is, I thought was very interesting. Checking in at
number four.
Ivanka Trump sat down with ABC News about her move from New York to Washington, how she's going to leave behind her business interests at this point and help with her father at the White House. But Ivanka pushed back against those who've questioned whether she's going to be taking the over the traditional roles of the first lady when she's first daughter.
Yes, it is. It's emotional. I'm stepping away from my business. My father will be president, and hopefully I can be there to support him and to support those causes I've cared about my whole professional career.
What's your reaction, though, when you hear people say she's going to be the essentially the real first lady? Does it offend you?
Well, I think it's an inappropriate observation. There's one first lady, and she'll do remarkable things.
Made that clear. There's no question, though, she and Jared, her husband, are going to have a big role in this White House.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what kind of a relationship she has with Melania, because they don't make a whole lot of eye contact. There's a whole lot of looking forward when they're next to each other.
Mm-hmm. Stepmom's, you know, not always popular.
No. And I do wonder, I'm again, just speculating, but my speculation has been, unfortunately, too accurate. But I wonder if the idea originally was for that role, and then there was some pushback in some quarter.
Well, remember there was that news that said we're not going to have the office of the first lady, we'll have the office of the first family.
Right.
So
it's. But was that real news or was that fake news? I don't know.
I think it wasn't released from the campaign, if that's what you mean, but it was reported, you know, widely.
I think that was speculated, and I think there's been some pushback now. And Melania, even though she doesn't want to live in Washington at the moment, maybe she's like, hey, let's do this. And I do think it's interesting. I think there will be a question tonight about why it was that the whole family was there and Barron wasn't there. And the other little kids were there. The grandkids were all there today at this event.
Right. I'm sure they'll be asked about that.
Yeah. And then they're going to push back on this. You get the sense that between Melania and Ivanka, and again, it's sort of one of those moments where you go, did I just say
right,
this?
That's exactly right. Like. Seems strange, but yes, it's true.
Between Melania and Ivanka.
There are a lot of those moments.
These are two very, apparently very smart and strong-willed individuals. Mm-hmm. So I think that's going to be something to watch.
Well, he trusts both of them, it seems, and that's.
Well, he trusts one of them for sure.
Ivanka,
the other one
is the other one is trust but verify, right? Don't you think?
You're talking about his wife Melania.
I don't know. Trust her as far as the paperwork will allow him to.
I don't know that she wants to be that active in policy or and you know she seems to be someone who's going to be fairly hands off in the immediate months, whereas Ivanka's not. I mean, Ivanka says, look, I have she's already holding meetings in New York with prominent women about advancing women's issues and making that part of her contribution to this White House, and says she takes it very seriously.
Because remember what Melania wants to do. She wants to do an anti-bullying thing. Cyberbullying.
And I'm starting with my husband.
Yes.
Great place
no
to
more
start.
Twitter.
Yes. Well, wouldn't it be? When he puts a negative adjective in front of every, or adverb in front of every name of somebody he doesn't like,
right?
She'll
Twitter.
Be sitting in the Oval Office with him with a pad and a paper, watching him taking notes.
And just
get
it,
like how not to bully. Oh, here's how it works.
Yeah, I sort of imagine. I mean, let's face it. Not every 400-pound guy in his mother's basement is a hacker.
Not everybody in their mom's basement is 400 pounds either.
True. Yeah.
Should clarify
Thanks
that.
Thanks for speaking up for the basement dwellers, Kevin.
Association.
We
have
would
to
expect
do that.
That.
It's a union agreement type thing.
Exactly. Oh,
I also would like to thank you for saying that, Kevin Powell, because I am not 400 pounds either, and I do dwell in the basement. Thank
Always
you.
Here for you.
And thank you and goodbye.
It's nice to know he's always listening.
He's always there. He's always there for you.
All right, Top 5-5 continues. It's been delayed tonight by activities in Washington, D.C., but we continue on. If you don't hear the Top 5-5 normally, because it's on at 5 o'clock, then get here earlier.
Right.
Right?
That's how you get to hear it.
That's what we say.
Number 3.
Baseball's annual Hall of Fame class was announced last night, and former Boston Red Sox pitcher Curt Schilling fell short. Oh, boy. Yep.
Is he the one who just almost made it?
No.
That would be Trevor Hoffman, who missed by five votes.
Oh, he only got 45% of the vote. You need 75% of the vote. Oh. And he had 52% in 2016. So it's like, hey, what's happening? You're going the wrong direction.
That's not good.
So he was on the Dan Patrick Show today, and he's an outspoken conservative.
Well, maybe a little bit.
Yeah. And a Trump supporter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Dan Patrick has it. You think that has anything to do with this?
I think if I didn't talk, I might have gotten in this time. I believe it's politics in one sense, but I also think the retweeting of the T-shirt gave them an out, so to speak.
Okay,
what
explain
was that.
That
retweeting the T-shirt. Was there a T-shirt that he put out that was offensive?
I'm not sure the T-shirt story, but he certainly has offended multiple people on Twitter.
Oh yeah, he did. He had a pretty offensive T-shirt. I'm not sure I should even read it.
What did it say? Just give me, put it in PG, 13.
Well, it's not a swear word. It's just the substance of it. Rope tree journalist.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one.
That'll do it.
And it's one of those guys where it's hard to keep track of all the...
He wants to lynch journalists, and it's the baseball writers, right? Who vote you into the Hall of Fame. Yeah.
Not going to bode well for you. It's up to the writers, Kurt.
Wait, there's more. There's more.
Listen, if that sacrifices the Hall of Fame, I don't want to be in anyway. If the Hall of Fame, if the writers in the Hall of that vote for the Hall of Fame are going to invoke "quote unquote" the character clause, and they're going to randomly invoke it, then you know what? So be it. It wasn't meant to be. Because if you want to invoke the character clause, then your ass better put Dale Murphy in the Hall of Fame yesterday, because he was one of the finest human beings I've ever known, and he was a Hall of Famer. If you want to invoke the character clause and vote for Barry Bonds or Roger Clemens, kiss my butt. And if you vote for Barry Bonds or Roger Clemens and you don't vote for Manny Ramirez, you're an idiot.
How much does character weigh into it all?
I mean, it's factored in. You know, Curt Schilling, he's a guy who put out a tweet, I think this was last year or so, it says the math is staggering when you get to the true numbers, and it's this meme, photo, whatever you want to call it. And it says only 5 to 10% of Muslims are extremists. In 1940, only 7% of Germans were Nazis. How'd that go? So that's the sort of bombs he's dropping on Twitter and social media at a constant pace. He gets into Twitter wars quite a bit.
Okay.
Good luck, Kurt. Better luck next year.
I'd say the call to the hall is it might be dwindling.
It's kind of trending downward for him.
All right. Checking in at
number 2.
Oh, the 2017 People's Choice Awards. The totally made up awards.
Why not? Another
Johnny
award
Depp. Johnny Depp. It's always people who won because it's like a voting, like it's online voting.
Yeah, it's like people's choice, right? It's just fans.
Yep. So Johnny Depp won, but he wanted to thank all of his fans and his well-wishers who were with him even during his very messy divorce with Amber Heard.
I came here for one reason tonight and one reason only. I love you too, kid. Thanks. I came here for you, the people, who, through whatever good times or bad, you know, have stood by me, trusted me, and you've, thank you. And you,
Yeah, no.
He's from where again?
From Central Kentucky.
That's how they speak.
Doesn't matter. I spent a lot of time in Australia.
He's a pirate.
France and other places around the world. I'm a citizen of the world. And I know there's a bit of a row that we had with Amber and the dogs, and then we had to shoot one dog in the back of the head. And,
jeez.
You know, it is just what happens when you're going through a divorce with a harpy kind of crazy bitch.
She offered to give the entire settlement to a battered women's shelter.
So. I did.
She did.
She accused me of all kinds of inappropriate things, but I didn't do anything. I never,
cheekbone or a hair on that woman's head. I don't know why I talk like this. And I really, quite honestly, don't know if I'll ever work again.
I think we've lost him a while ago, but I do love him as an actor.
Yeah, there's more.
Listen, I was very deeply affected by the kindness of your recognition and by your well wishes to my family and to myself, which is why it's especially meaningful to me to be here in front of you to say thank you.
And still alive.
Yeah. And to tell you that I truly feel that need to thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome. Whatever. I'm going back to my bottle now.
Number one.
Ruth Benjamin from Marshall, Illinois, just celebrated her 109th birthday. Born in 1908. 109-year-old has some advice for long
I've
life.
I've been happy. That means a lot. And I never smoked a cigarette in my life. I never drank liquor in my life. And I had one husband for 43 years. I've been to Hawaii. I've been to Washington, D.C. I've been to Niagara Falls. I've been about everywhere. I have potatoes some way every day. And I love kraut.
Kraut?
Okay. Kraut.
Okay. Well, we better start eating more potatoes and kraut.
Yes. And I love bacon.
Ooh.
She gets it.
She bucks the trend, though. You always hear them say, I have a shot of whiskey every day. Yeah, there's always that component. She says, no.
I'd also like to say that I've had a lot of cigarettes, and I do drink every day, and I quite honestly don't really like kraut.
No, but potatoes? Are they good?
I'll be very lucky to make it to 54. So there's that.
But you travel a lot. She says that's part of the secret.
Right. Well, I would never go to Niagara Falls or someplace like that.
No, it's always places with different accents.
Johnny, wake up! Johnny! All right, close this thing up.
The top five at five.